I want you to turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 5. I've been preaching a series of sermons. I hope you're not weary of them yet. Generally, I don't go from one end of a series to another. I'll preach a few sermons out of a series and then go on to another series and pick back up where I left off. And I wanted to at least get this in before that I moved on to some other things. I think it's so fitting. To be able to look at this passage of Scripture today and remind you of a few things from the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 5, of course, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. And we've dealt with that now in a series of messages, trying to talk a little bit about how the Lord was telling His disciples, you're coming to a place that you've not been now and you're going to need some training. And I'm going to let you know that following me, There'll be some things that you need to be aware of. And first, he dealt with some things telling them how precious they are to Him and to the Heavenly Father. And don't ever forget how precious you are in God's sight, how much He loves you and cares for you. And after he talked about how precious they were, he dealt with the fowls of the air, the lilies of the field. Then he talked about salt, which was more valuable than silver or gold at that time. And he said, you're more precious to your Heavenly Father than all of those things. And then we dealt a little bit with the fact, not only that, but also we cannot afford to compromise, because even though we're more precious than silver or gold, salt can lose its savor. And we don't want to lose our savor as we travel through this Christian life. Then he talked about laying up treasures in heaven and how that they had been weary of the fact that it was just the opposite, really, of what the religious leaders were teaching at that time. They were telling them to hide their money because of the Romans coming in and not only taking taxes, but losing everything they had. And he said, what you need to do is you don't need to listen to the scribes and Pharisees. You need to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And then also, I left you with the thought about the cubit and dealt a little bit with Cyrenius Cubit and how that with a cubit, that was the cubit of space that was marked to determine whether people lived or died, whether they became slaves or whether they were crucified. And how that the Lord was saying, you can't add one cubit to your stature. You can't make yourself anything other than what God has made you. But the Lord says, I'll take care of you and I'll provide for you and watch over you. And then also, we've been dealing now with this particular passage that I want you to look at, if you will. Let's go to verse 14. A very familiar passage of Scripture, chapter 5 and verse 14. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Now here's the phrase, one sentence. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. The city on a hill. I'm going to deal just a little bit with what he meant when he talked about the city on a hill. If you've been joining us for some of the other sermons, you know that I've dealt some with the ruins of Sepphoris at this time, which was nearby. That town was only 4 miles from where Jesus grew up, and it made such an impression on him because of the destruction of that city. But Sepphoris, if you remember in one of the earlier messages that I dealt with Sepphoris, I brought out the fact that it was a watch city or a warning city. See, Herod the Great built these cities and they had a particular purpose when he built them. He would build them on a hill until people in the valley could look up to them. There was no means of communication like we have today. They had to depend upon a way to warn when enemy was coming to overthrow cities. And of course, his main goal was he wanted to protect the larger cities. So he went out around these great metropolis areas that he had built up. He was a great builder and he found locations, high hills, and he would build a city. He would always square that city off. And it was visible, and it could be visible to those that were in the valley. All they had to do was look up, and they could see these cities. And these cities served as sanctuary cities, a place where that they had some responsibilities with it that we'll talk about in a few moments. But yet, they were really built for one purpose, and that was to warn the next city, and then they could warn the next city, and ultimately warn the larger cities that the enemy was coming their way. So Jesus is referring to the fact that if you're going to be my disciples, you need to be a witness. You need to warn people in life. We're not just to live the Christian life and to say we're satisfied that we're going to heaven. We need to warn others. We need to warn them of the approach of the devil and the way that he works. And these cities had a way of warning people. They actually used large flags. And each flag had a different purpose or a different signal as it would go up. For example, if there was a yellow flag on the north wall, they would put up a large yellow flag, and that meant all was clear. No enemies in sight. You don't have to worry about the enemy bothering you. Everything is clear. But if they saw a red flag on the north wall in place of that yellow flag, it meant the enemy has been sighted. Now, you better watch out, because we have an enemy of our soul. And you've got to keep your eye out for him. That's what Jesus was saying. Don't be caught off guard by things. But we know the tactics of the devil. He teaches us of the wiles of the devil in the Word of God. And we're really without excuse, because he says, I'm giving you this warning and warn others. You've always got to keep your eye out for the enemy. And your enemy is not people. I've stressed that over and over. Our enemy's not people. Don't get into a fuss with people. You're just wasting time. It's not productive. Don't spend your time fussing with people. Don't talk back to people. If you're going to talk back to anybody, talk back to the devil. Let him know whose side you're on. Let him know who's your authority and whose name you come against him in. Be sure to understand the true enemy of your soul is Satan and those that follow him. Now, if you saw that red flag, it meant you better get in the city, because the enemy is coming, and if you want safety, you've got to get in. If two red flags went up, one on the north wall, one on the east wall, it meant now we've not only sighted the enemy, but we're under attack. And when we're under attack, then it's too late now to get in. If eventually red flags were up all around the city, that meant that the enemy has now surrounded the city. There's no way to get in. The flags, oftentimes, they'd leave it down on one wall to say there may be a chance to get in on the east wall, or there may be a chance to get in on the west wall. But once the flags were up all around the city, the red flags, it meant that now it's too late. You can't get in. There is a time where that we need to warn people. There is a time when it'll be too late to get in. You can put God off and put God off, but there's coming a time, if you put him off too long and wait too long, it'll be too late to get in. I hear folks say all the time, I'm just waiting, preacher. I'm waiting for a better time. I'm waiting for a more convenient time. But the truth of the matter is, you can wait too long and die without Christ. Or not only that, you can wait so long that the Spirit of God no longer troubles you or makes you aware of the fact that you need the Lord. But finally, if a black flag went up, that means that the city has fallen to the hands of the enemy. Now, what is he saying to us? He's saying to us as the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm saying to Rubyville Community Church, I know there's people that tune in from all over, but as pastor of this church sits on a hill. And we are a city on a hill. And the truth of the matter is, we need to warn people there is an enemy. And I also want to warn you right now, the church is under attack. The attack through all of this is more than a virus. It's become an attack against the church of the living God. I see constantly, I heard a report this week where one political figure in one area said it'll be a year before we let people come back to church. And the truth of the matter is, they don't have the say. God has the say. And the enemy would love to take something like this and say, it's too late. But I've got good news for you. It's not too late. All of this is a warning. It's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to depend on God and repent and come to the Lord and say, Lord, we need your power. We need your help. We need your grace. And we're dependent upon you. The purpose. Well, why would anyone go to a city like that? Because it had privileges. Do you know there's privileges for being in the sanctuary city that's on a hill? Do you know there's privileges that go along with being a part of the church. What are the privileges? Well, at that time, if they lived in that city, they lived tax-free. They didn't know the government anything. Now, I know what some of you are saying, but Jesus said, render unto Caesar that which belongs unto Caesar. Yes, but there was an opportunity here where they could live at a place where that they did not let the government rule it. Now, I'm going to get in trouble for what I preach today, but you need to hear it. You need to hear it. And I know we'll catch it, and the devil needs to know right now. It's settled in my heart. I am disgraced. I think it is a disgrace the way that some of our leaders have handled all of this. I felt more liberty when I preached in the former Soviet Union as it was falling. I felt more liberty preaching there than I do in Soda County in Ohio. You say, well, it's the same Lord, it's the same Spirit. Yes, but the enemy has got so many people now bound by fear, and so many people, everywhere you turn, it just seems like it's a constant battle where somebody says, you need to do this, and you need to do that. And the truth of the matter is, if everyone knew as much about this as what they say, we wouldn't be in this mess. And the reason we're so confused now, we've got 50 states saying 50 things, and nobody really knows anything about it. But nobody is standing up and saying, do you know what we need to do? We need to stand on our feet as the church of the living God and rebuke this thing in Jesus' name and say, we're not bound to depend on the government to overcome a virus. There is healing, healing in Jesus' name. By His stripes, we are healed. It's a warning. But here was their idea to keep people bound in that city. You move in tax-free and the government will give you money. That's what they did. The Roman government paid them to live there. Right now we think we can throw money at this thing. And I'm like you, I cash my stimulus check, I pay my taxes, I took my stimulus check just like you did. But I realize this, that won't fix this problem. I'm glad for what they're doing, I appreciate what they're doing, but do you see what they're trying to do? They're trying to say, depend on us, depend on us. We've got the answer. If they're the answer, we're in a world of hurt. They don't have the answer. Jesus is the answer. And if we don't tell people it's time to turn to Jesus, we have failed in warning the world. We need Christ. The other thing is, they were then considered a Roman citizen. Not only that, but they could pass it on to their kids and their grandkids. So they thought, this is the safest way out. So it had privileges living there. It had a purpose. But with every privilege comes responsibility. If you were part of the city on the hill, here's the responsibilities you had. First of all, you had a responsibility of understanding. If you enter the city, you'll be the first attacked. If you lived in one of these cities, you were attacked before any other city. If you lived in the major city where Herod lived or where Herod's residences were at, you didn't have to worry because that was the last stand. They had more soldiers. They had more protection. But if you were in one of these outpost cities, you were the first to be attacked. Now, I wish I could tell you living for God is always easy, but it's not easy. And you need to make your mind up when you decide you're going to live for God and you're going to decide to do what's right, you're going to be the first to be attacked. The devil will attack you. He's not going to let you get by with doing what you want to do for God. He's going to do what he can to attack you. The second thing is that you had to provide protection for strangers. If you lived in that city, you took a vow that when strangers come in, you took them in. And that's where that we're at as well. The church is saying to the world that's lost, and you don't have a place to go. We know a place. We know a shelter. We know someone that can help through all of this. The other thing is you had to promise that you would always take in the wounded. If people came with wounds, you had to take them in and do what you could to help the wounded any way that you possibly can. May we be a city on the hill, and may we be that church of the living God to say to a wounded world, you can run to this place for safety. We know that there is a balm in Gilead, and we know who has the answer and who has the healing power. And that has not changed. The other thing is you had to promise to protect those that came in. You had to promise to keep them safe while they were there. If they couldn't fight for themselves, you had to fight for them. If you had to give of your own possessions to take care of them, you had to do it. You had to promise to help them any way that you possibly could. I think it was a terrible, terrible day when the church world got the attitude that we'll kill our wounded. You can't kill the wounded. If you're here in this church, I hope you understand people will sin. People will fall. People will get hurt. And while that I can't stop all of that, I do have a responsibility. I may warn you what you're going into is going to hurt you. You're going to fall into terrible places if you pursue that. But if you are wounded, that doesn't mean that we'll turn our back on you. We need to do all that we can to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. Our duty demands it. That's what the Lord is saying. Listen, it'll no longer be about you. It'll be about others. You've got to look to others and put others first. And that's exactly what he's saying here. He tells the disciples, we've got a responsibility. If you're going to be a disciple, you've got to warn others. You've got to give counsel. You've got to feed the hungry. You've got to help the hurting. It's not enough to call yourself a disciple. It's not enough to understand that we're precious in his sight. That's great, but that's not enough. It's not enough to know that God loves us. You still have to do two things. You cannot compromise. And second of all, you cannot hide. The Lord is not looking for people that's worried about hiding. Hiding among their life. I deal with so many people that they're proud of the fact that nobody that works with them knows they're a Christian. They're proud of the fact that nobody that lives with them knows they're a Christian. Don't hide the fact that you're a Christian. You don't have to be embarrassed that you're a Christian. I know the world doesn't love Christians. I know the world doesn't love God's Word, but we don't have to be embarrassed about that. We ought to be proud of the fact that we're in the family of God, that the Lord has saved us. It has responsibilities, but the end result is Jesus is saying to these disciples, you better get your priorities right. That's what matters. Years ago, a renowned preacher was traveling, preaching. It was in the days before modern communication. They sent for a doctor. He was sick. The doctor came, visited him, and said, I'm sorry, I don't know how long you have, but you don't have long to live. He asked for some paper and he wrote a little note to his wife. He asked that they send that note to his wife. And on that note he said, I just discovered that I only have a little while to live. By the time you read this, I will have already entered into the palace of my king. Good night. I'll see you in the morning. Years ago, a senator in America was given a diagnosis that he only had a year to live. The first press conference that he held after his diagnosis, reporters, they just bombarded him with questions. And one reporter said, how has this changed you? What have you learned from this? And he said, I'll tell you what I learned. He said, I didn't learn how to live until I was told I'm about to die. We've lived the past several weeks with death all around us in this nation and death all around this world. But just because death is all around us doesn't mean that you're dead yet. You're still alive. And God's given you life for a reason, and that is prepare to meet God. Prepare to meet God. Time's running out. He could call you today. This could be my last sermon. If it's my last sermon, I'm glad I can meet the Lord and say, I was still raising the flag, giving a warning, telling people, time is running out. All of this should teach us we are so close to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time for the church to shout with a shout of the tribe of Judah and roar like a lion, saying, we have the answer. His name is Jesus. And without Him, you cannot make it.